S-A-B-O-O, San Francisco, baby, baby!
Shiba, shiba! Shiba, shiba! Shiba, shiba!
Let me in!
Shiba, shiba!
I wanna be closer to you!
Shiba, shiba!
Open up your soul!
Shiba, shiba!
Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your mind.
Oh, why don't you let me in? Let me be the first to ever touch your mind.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. A lot of you know about the Angels of Light. Well, they're going to be at the San Francisco Public Library doing some free theater. Here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome one of the angels, Tahara. Hello.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, beautiful day today.
So, Tahara, tell our listening audience, because I know there are people who may be new to the Angels of Light. So give us a little background.
Well, I think it all goes back to the Summer of Love when the group began. It's a theater group that was inspired by the ideals of the Summer of Love in San Francisco and began performing. It consisted of gay men who, with beards and mustaches, hippie gay men who wore women's clothes. And it was kind of like cross-dressing drag queens, but they had beards and mustaches, and it kind of became a, especially in the, among gay people, a kind of viral sensation, so to speak, in today's language. And that's began in that, so it's kind of a and it also is the story of what happened after the Summer of Love, because the Summer of Love kind of died by 69, 70, and then what happened was people disappeared. A lot of them went back to where they were from, and were kind of lost and forgotten, and the people who stayed here from the Summer of Love went into another phase of forming what they called communes. And these communes in San Francisco were all sharing this new hippie ideal of, you know, free love and new world idealism, ecology, all that stuff. And there were over, I think at the peak, there were allegedly 350 communes.
Wow.
And they were publishing a newsletter. One of the communes was publishing a newsletter. And this was a former beat writer from New York City named Irving Rosenthal. He wrote a book. He wrote he was a friend of Ginsberg also. I'm just mentioning this so you can have an idea of
context.
Who he is. And he started the first commune, and then they printed a newsletter, began printing a newsletter and telling people you should live in communes. And people, that's what happened then. They started doing that.
Okay.
And as part of that, the Angels of Light were formed because it, there was also this idealism of selfless service that was about sharing, and, you know, it was all these hippie ideals. And people were doing that, and the Angels of Light had were theater people. They had come out of a group called the Cockettes, which was the first male bearded drag queen group. Started in 69, New Year's Eve, 69-70, and they actually became big they were becoming internationally famous. I think they lasted about 2 years. And what happened in that was the hippie ideals and this cauliflower newsletter were going around, and they were saying, you know, live to your highest goals and all that stuff about idealism. And there was the Cockettes were a commercial group. They charge money for people to see a Cockette show. And this hippie group thought that was outrageous, that that was not the new world. And so they didn't like the Cockettes at all, even though some of the people in that hippie group, the Cockettes, had lived in that house with the commune. So it was all complicated.
Sure, as things get, yeah.
As things get. So it all kind of ties into the Summer of Love in the beginning, and it lasted for 15 years. And that group, well, the Cockettes started it, you know, this kind of new look where men could wear women's clothes and have beards and mustache, all this kind of new things like that, both for both men and women. And and this was long before the word transgender was even used. And it inspired a lot of that and what we have now. And also out of the Angels of Light, not to brag or anything, I don't want to turn this into an ego trip, but the pride flag, the rainbow pride flag, was also kind of from the Angels of Light. One of the performers in the Angels made the first pride flag and displayed it in Civic Center, so that began the whole rainbow flag.
That's amazing. So at what point were you a part of the Angels?
I was there from the beginning.
Nice.
And then I was in it for the next 6 years. And then after that, some Beaver Bauer, who is also in one of the events we're hosting here this coming week, she was in them, and also the other person who will also be hosting, Gregory. We were all in the Angels from the beginning together. And I think, well, Gregory might have come a few months later, but we were all there pretty much from the beginning. And the same thing that happened to the Cockettes happened to the Angels of Light, which is things got too big, too fast, too many people, you know, just everybody going in different directions, and then you fall apart. But the ones that want to continue will continue, but it falls apart.
Sure, sure. So how did it all, like, were bridges mended, or how did you all come back together?
Well, nobody saw each other for years and years and years. We all went separate ways. People had children and you know, moved other places, all that. And what happened, though, was it really all kind of began around, we didn't see each other for 25 years, I think, all of us, unless it was somebody you were always close to, you know, like there were a few angels you did see because you were still friends with them, but so to explain. But 25 years later, two things happened. Somebody organized a reunion, and that was in '95. People came out of the woodwork for that. And then in 2002, a filmmaker came on the scene, two filmmakers, and they made a documentary on that scene and that time with the Cockettes. And those two things kind of brought people back together. But a lot of those people from those days are gone now. They died of AIDS. We were hit by AIDS so hard. I mean, in the Angels, I would say, well, we had about, at the end, we had 60 people in the cast, and including technicians and set designers and all that stuff. We got quite big toward the end there, but then AIDS came along, and I think out of the 60, probably 35 or 40 angels died, I would say.
That's a lot. That's a huge
lot of
hit.
Them. And then it was just, and nobody could do any theater then. It would have been ludicrous to try to do theater when everybody's so depressed and all that. But, you know, that's life. I mean, I hate to say it. But.
So here we are now in 2026, and you guys have been looking back on what you're doing. So tell me about this series of shows that you guys have got coming up.
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. I could talk for hours if you didn't stop me. Thank you. Well, let's see. Tuesday, this coming Tuesday here in San Francisco at the main library downtown, 100 Larkin Street, at 6 p.m. in the Corette Auditorium, Three Angels will be hosting a panel talking about the history and the idealism and all this sort of stuff. If you're a Summer of Love enthusiast or a gay history interest or something, it's a place to be. And we're also promised a few surprises. And then that's July 28th, Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, 6 p.m., Corette Auditorium, Main Library, San Francisco. July 29th, 7 p.m., we're at Tally Ho Books, 3941 Piedmont Avenue in Oakland. That starts at 7 p.m., but that is not the Angels. That features a transgender, radical transgender freak, homeless, a performer who was a big star and had gone down, slid down the hill, poor thing. And she was a poet also, and they are publishing her book. So that's a book party for the, her book has just been released with thousands of copies.
What's the name of the book?
The book is called Devour Me Again.
Okay, and who is it about?
It's about Bambi Lake.
Ah, she was the infamous Bambi Lake.
She was an angel of light, and she wanted to make it big in the theater world. And she was talented; she could sing, but she was just on methamphetamine, and she had hormones and all that stuff, and she was just absolutely nuts. But she was so driven, you know, like Judy Garland or something, I don't know, but she really wanted to go to Hollywood. And then at the same time, she was homeless.
Right, right.
And living under a bridge in drag, and there's all kinds of stories that are about her. Here's one. She thought she was Charlotte Rampling, the actress, the British actress. She was so messed out and in hormones and drag and everything. She thought she was Charlotte Rampling. Well, the Rolling Stones were in town, and she said to herself, Charlotte Rampling should be at the Rolling Stones concert. And so she called up the stadium where they were appearing and said, hello, this is Charlotte Rampling. I'm in town. I'd love to come to the show. And they said, oh, yes, please do come. So they gave her a pass backstage.
Wow.
She gets dressed up. She goes to the Rolling Stones Stadium backstage. She says, yes, this is Charlotte Rampling. They say, oh, come in, Miss Rampling. And they take her to Mick Jagger. And he sees her and he says, that's not Charlotte Rampling. Throw her out. And they threw her out. Well, Bambi Lake. Now, we're talking about Bambi Lake and why why she's so notorious.
Right. Probably a string of expletives.
She goes to a payphone and calls the stadium and says there's a bomb set to go off in 5 minutes.
Wow.
And the police, she told me within 3 seconds the police were there at that phone booth. And she was arrested and sentenced to 6 months in the county jail.
Wow.
As a woman. Now, I don't know if she was in the men's tank or the women's tank, but I don't know.
Amazing.
And there's a lot of stories about her like that. She published her own autobiography some years ago. Yeah. She claimed she was Mick Jagger's girlfriend.
Oh, there are worse things you could claim.
And better.
Okay, so we've got the one that's coming up at the library this Tuesday. What time again on Tuesday?
7 p.m. July 29th is the one in Tally Ho Books in Oakland. The one at the library is July 28th, Tuesday, 6 p.m., Main Library, San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's did I mention Compton's Cafeteria, July 30th?
You did not.
I think a Thursday, coming up Thursday.
Okay.
That's at 6 p.m., and that will be another Devour Me Again book party, with people reading poems from the book and telling Bambi Lake stories.
And there's a lot of them, so that's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So some people
She's actually died. She died, I think, 3 years ago of cancer. She was a big cigarette smoker.
Mm-hmm. And some people don't know what the Compton cafeteria riots are, so you might want to give a short background.
They were the first gay riots in America before Stonewall, and they were, I think, around 65 something, I can't remember, but it was the gay men in the bar in those days. They couldn't really be out very much. They go to a cafeteria, this cafeteria, and eat lunch and then congregate there, and I guess the owner was cool. And finally, the police closed it down because these deviants were disturbing people. And a lot of them were arrested, and that became famous. But it wasn't until later. I think Stonewall was usually considered the first gay riot. It was so well known. Back in 65, nobody, probably newspapers didn't even print such things. And they certainly didn't talk about it on the national news.
And so that event is happening when?
Compton's Cafeteria, July 30th, 6 p.m., 835 Larkin Street. That's another Bambi Lake book signing, book thing event with Pretty Frankenstein, I don't know, there's some kind of a rock band, will be performing at the Tally Ho Books in Oakland on July 29th, 7 p.m. This is all kind of confusing, so many dates. I hope they wrote it down or something.
Well,
you can find it online also.
Well, yeah, where can they find out more information about the events that are coming up?
Offhand. It's the LGBTQHP.org website. It has everything.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Tahara, I want to thank you so, so much for being on the show today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. And if I just might shout out a special thanks to August Bernardicu for putting all this on and contacting us and everything. And you're very nice. You're very nice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You have a good day.
You too.
Take care.
You
thank
too.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, people of Earth, this is your opportunity to go to the San Francisco Public Library and check out the Angels of Light, and hear about all the stuff that they're doing, find out more about Beaver Bower. It's all fantastic.
I got a call the other day. It was my sister Carolyn saying, "Aretha, come by when you can. I've got something that I want to say." When I got there, she said, "You know, rather than go through a long, drawn-out thing, I think the melody on the box will help me explain." You gotta find me an angel, fly away with me. Gotta find me an angel
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. That was Aretha Franklin and Angel from Hey Now, Hey. It is 12:20. Who's about to touch your mind? Well, Club Fugazi has got a lot of shows coming up. Here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome the executive producer, David Dower. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. So tell people a little bit about Club Fugazi. I want to say Fugazi, but is it Fugazi or Fugazi?
That's right. Well, Fugazi was the family name, and people pronounce it Club Fugazi now.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And so it, you know, people in the city know it mostly from its previous iteration as the home of Beach Blanket Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
That ran there for 45 years. But we've now been running Dear San Francisco there for 5 years. So people slowly but surely are starting to think of it as our place.
Now, what is Dear San Francisco?
So Dear San Francisco, it's like almost like a Cirque du Soleil-style love letter to San Francisco, created by a company called The Seven Fingers. It's mm-hmm. our first U.S. home. We're actually San Francisco natives, but we grew the company in Montreal. So this is just a joy-filled celebration of what it is that we love about the city, all expressed through acrobatics and live music and spoken word and contemporary dance and comedy.
Now, what was the inspiration for who decided today, let's just do this?
Yeah. So, you know what happened? So we were, began here, but we were expats for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
When Beach Blanket was closing, they closed December of 2019, and then COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were feeling very far away there on the other side of the continent, and knew what the room had meant to San Francisco for the full 45 years of that run.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were just like, hey, we can go home. We can replace that with a love letter in our own voice and keep the party going at Club Fugazi. And so that's what we did. And we opened in September of 2021. So it became this kind of love letter to the city at a moment when we were all trying to come out and all trying to find ourselves again and find mm-hmm. the city again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just been a joyous run for almost 1,450 performances at this
wow.
point.
So what makes it a love letter to San Francisco? What is it about it that separates it from other acrobatic shows?
Yeah, so many different things. The first being that all of the acrobatic elements are deployed in service of moments and story bits of the cities. San Francisco is as much a myth as it is a city. It's as much a vibe
okay.
as it is a geography.
Okay.
And so it's something, a city that lives in everybody's minds, whether you are a tourist to it or a local. And we wanted to make a piece for the local community that would reignite that story in each of us and reignite that love in each of us. And so all of the elements of the show are aligned around that action of reawakening to the joy of the city. And the audience is even invited to write their own love letters every night, and three of them are read during the course of the show. And so then there's this kind of direct address between the audience and the stage of what the individuals seated in the room that night love about the city.
Aww.
So it's a celebration. It's an introduction for people who don't know the city. It's a very heartfelt one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got these virtuosic, jaw-dropping skills that are playing out throughout.
So is it, like, is there an overarching narrative? Like, is it telling a single story? Or what is the plot of the story that so it can follow?
Yeah, good. This is a great question, because circus actually works more on an emotional narrative, an emotional arc, or at
mm-hmm.
least the Seven Fingers. Our shows are always designed to carry an emotional storyline, but not a plot-driven one.
Okay.
And so it operates as a series of short chapters, almost,
mm-hmm.
of different elements of that create the city. So there's something about the earthquake history. There's something about the Summer of Love history. There's something about the beat poets. There's something about the neighborhoods and the diversity of the city. There's the overriding arc that you're on is from falling to rising. So it starts out with the 1906 earthquake, mm-hmm. and then the acts rise, and you see the acrobats lifting each other up as the city gets lifted up, and then it falls again, and then it's lifted again, and then it falls again, mm-hmm. until the phoenix arrives at the very end and rises one last time into this kind of euphoric standing ovation, basically.
Now, has an audience member ever written a love letter that was so moving to you that you wanted to incorporate it into the show?
Oh, so many. We have never had a permanent card in the show because mm-hmm. every night there'll be too many. We only read three, and every night there's a dozen or more that are just very moving and powerful. The overriding theme of these letters, mm-hmm. which I think is actually a part of the secret sauce of San Francisco, a clear majority of these letters say something about the city saw me, and so I found myself.
Aww.
And yeah, and there's not a lot of cities. I don't know what other city you would say that. You know, that the city saw me before I saw myself, mm-hmm. and then I became me, that is a very, very common one. So almost every night there'll be one of those. And then there'll also be very funny ones. And beautiful ones. So, but the overwhelming majority are, thank you, you found me, so I found myself.
Okay, now how many people does it take to put a show like this together? Like you say, it's like acrobats and Cirque du Soleil, and I seem to recall that they had hundreds and hundreds of people.
Yeah. One of the things about the Seven Fingers, the company was created by seven acrobats who were part of the original Cirque du Soleil tours.
Okay.
And they really, they wanted to create the opposite kind of vibe, which was moving away from scale and spectacle uh-huh. to something super intimate and human.
Oh,
so
okay.
All of our shows are done by eight or nine people.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody on stage has to be able to do all of the acrobatics. They have to have a solo. They have to play an instrument. They have to sing, and they have to speak on stage.
Wow.
And so this kind of remarkable group of people to whom you have very immediate access. It's a very small room,
mm-hmm.
and the acrobats are around it the entire night.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are showing off all of these incredible skills in all these different directions all night and, you know, celebrating the city as they do it. So it's a kind of mind-blower, you know, dizzying amount of virtuosity going on stage.
Yeah, that's like the old vaudeville performances where everybody had to mm-hmm. do everything. How are you
exactly.
able to find people who have that, you know, all of the things that you need?
You know, one of the secret sauces of San Francisco is that it's been a breeding ground for contemporary circus for the last 50-plus years and has changed the face of world circus multiple times in that time frame. And so a lot of people from San Francisco train here early on, very young, starting around five. But there's also people who come to San Francisco to train, and then people go from there to professional training, largely in Montreal. That's where mm-hmm. we find our people. Because we also, our artistic directors also teach there. They live in the Montreal community now, and they are able to pull these groups together. But we've got shows all over the world, and, you know, I don't know, dozens and dozens and dozens of acrobats on salary at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And so we mix and match. Like, part of what Beach Blanket did was that it kept the show a little bit different all the time for
mm-hmm.
people who were coming regularly. So, for our show, you'll always find a new acrobat in the cast with new skills, a new story segment that wasn't there before. So we mix our company into each of our shows, but that's how we keep everybody fresh, and that's where we find them.
Nice, nice. So how often does the show run?
Seven shows a week, which is
oh, wow.
kind of incredible. When you see it, you can't imagine that's possible. They do Wednesday through Sunday. So we do seven shows in 5 days, and then the acrobats get to have Monday and Tuesday off.
See, that sounds exhausting. Like, do you have, I'm serious, do you have like different acrobats on different days so that people don't?
No.
Wow.
Same nine people all the time. And then every
that's
3 months
nuts.
Or 6 months, some people will move on to another show of ours, and
uh-huh.
new people will come, so there's always some new energy. But, you know, what's even funnier than all of that is that for a long time, they're not doing it right now, but for a long time, there were acrobats in the show who would go play pickup basketball between the shows on Saturday and Sunday. So this is a young person's thing,
sure,
and you
got
to have a tremendous amount of energy and a tremendous amount of discipline to do it. And it's part of why the show is so people become super activists about it. You know, they drag everybody they know to it. They send everybody. They write online reviews. They see it over and over again. And it's partly because these people are extraordinary. And that's what they have in common, even though we keep changing the cast. It's always, here comes another extraordinary person.
Wow.
Yeah, I would say one other thing about what is going on there. And that is that this form and this show, this is a human-powered event. And in the city right now, to give people an opportunity to leave AI behind, leave their scrolling behind, leave their screens behind, and just see what the human is capable of, when you are able to trust that you trust each other and are trustworthy, that you have each other's lives in your hands and you're lifting each other up at all times, that for people is something that it creates an ache, often creates tears. Seeing that kind of humanity on stage, up close and personal, in these beautiful but also super accessible people. And every night when I say, you know, we're going to leave AI behind tonight, there's this huge applause before the show starts of people who were looking for that experience and are glad that they found it.
Okay, so we've talked about that it runs Wednesday through Sunday. So where is Club Fugazi? What's the address?
So it's in North Beach. It's at 678 Green Street, and that block of Green Street is actually called Beach Blanket Babylon Boulevard.
Oh,
but it's Green Street between Powell and Columbus.
You know, that's funny because there's going to be like people who were born, you know, afterwards who won't even know. They just know it's Beach Blanket Babylon, but we don't know why.
Exactly. Yeah, there's already that. Every night I ask the audience, you know, how many people have seen it and have been in the building before and who had seen Beach Blanket Babylon. And over the course of the 5 years, the number of hands has gone down and down and down and down. And so I feel like we're getting there. And I'm very delighted that we keep its legacy alive in this space. We will always mention it and we will always celebrate it. But we also celebrate the rest of the history, you know. Club Fugazi is where the Grateful Dead had their first album release party. Robin Williams started out there. Janis Joplin played there. All the Beat Poets read there. Thelonious Monk recorded an album there. So it goes on and on and on, the history. Beach Blanket is certainly one of the signal accomplishments, but it's not the only one.
Now, does the show change depending on what season it is, or does it just evolve as people come in and out?
A little of both. During Pride Month, the show is inflected a little bit toward Pride. During the holidays, it's inflected toward the experience of being in San Francisco for the holidays. Like, who is your family? What is your? Where are you going home, or are you staying here? What do you even say? Can you say Merry Christmas in San Francisco now? Can you? what holidays are you celebrating? We try to stay current. And then things will happen in the news, like when the Waymo collapse happened during the power outage, that went into the show. And it's still something that people are, lose their minds over and stuff like that. As things happen in the city, they are likely to pop up one way or another in the show.
Love it. Love it. So where can people get tickets?
Yeah, so the website is clubfugazisf.com. And there is, between now and August 16th, for your listeners, I would just say, there is a promo code. It's 49 for 49. We won a whole bunch of awards this year in the readers' polls. We won like 8 of them. And so we just wanted to celebrate our 49 square miles, and every night there's going to be 49 tickets between now and August 16th at every performance. There's 49 tickets that, if you use this promo code,
you'll be discounted.
Have a substantial savings.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And so is there anything else you want our listening audience to know?
I think, you have to you just have to live in this city to love this city fully and for the city to be itself. So even if you're not coming to Dear San Francisco, I hope you'll get out. I hope you'll see art. I hope you'll see festivals and just feel this city. The city is special and it needs you. And so love it and it will love you back.
Excellent. Well, with that, David Dower, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right. People of Earth, this is your opportunity to go check out Club Fugazi and see some amazing shows and have yourself a good old time. So you may want to book your tickets.
We finally got a chance to meet. Hey. Hello, hello, San Francisco, yeah. We finally got a chance to meet. I knew someday that I would. Chicago in the year 1960. You know when he left me, he said he headed towards the Golden Gate. All right, I left Chicago walking.
I had that on repeat as a teenager. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. That's the Village People in San Francisco. You got me. Before that, Sugar Pie DeSanto and Hello San Francisco from Putumayo Presents American Blues. It is the last Monday of the month, Monday, and that means that I've got my librarianist is here to talk about all the fun stuff that's going to be happening at the library. I would like to welcome Michelle Williams and Jillian Cam. Hello.
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 So tell me a little bit about which libraries you both come from. So I'm going to start with Michelle.
So I'm at the Noe Valley branch.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do at the Noe Valley branch?
I am a library assistant. So basically what I do is help with operations of the library, make sure that things are running smoothly, mm-hmm. that people are getting their books, mm-hmm. and all of the help librarians set up for programs, everything that help the patrons feel comfortable and get what they need.
Okay. And then, Jillian, which branch are you at?
I'm at the North Beach branch. I am the teen services librarian.
Okay. And how does teen services differ from any other librarian?
Only about 10 branches have a teen specific serving librarian, uh-huh. and the rest are youth services. So they cover 0 to 18, and I cover about 13 to 18
year-olds. All right. Well, I've got two librarians here, so I'm going to have to speed through it to make sure we get all the stuff you want to cover. So, Jillian, I'm going to start with you this time. What's the first thing you want to let our listeners know about?
I want them to know about our Yale intern program. So it's a 6-week program that they're almost done with, but mm-hmm. they started in June, mm-hmm. and they work with us to do help with programs, and then they end up creating their own program as their final project at the end. So now, it's a 6-week program.
Is Yale an acronym for something?
Yes, it stands for Youth Engaged in Library Leadership.
Oh, okay. And how long has that been around? Do you know?
I want to say it's about 10 years going.
Oh, wow.
10 years or more.
Okay. And what's the age range for the people who can do that?
So it changed recently. So mm-hmm. mostly like juniors and seniors, but as early as 15 is what we were getting. It depends on like the school. And we paired up with YouthWorks, so they pay them.
Okay. So what are some of their responsibilities, and how, if you have someone who is eligible for that, how do they get involved?
So they apply at the beginning, usually in April, they mm-hmm. apply for the program, and they get matched to do an interview, and then they interview with us,
okay.
and they select one of the three of their branches that they want to work at. So there's
nice.
About 10 branches.
Oh, okay. All right.
And they do, you get, if you're part-time, you get about 4. And if you're full-time, you get 5 to 6.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. Now, April's long since passed. So letting them know about the program is just so that it's on their radar?
So they apply, then they have to do interviews and things like that in May. And then they're selected that week.
Okay.
Like basically in May, you're selected, and in June, the program will start like the second week of June.
And is that application to a specific branch, or can they turn in that application anywhere?
So it's located at all the branches, and then there's like a QR code that you select, you fill out the application, and you would select a little bit later on, I guess, what branches you're interested in working at, mm-hmm. and then you'll pick the top three when you go in for the interview.
And is there a way, so you said there's a QR code, which means there's an online
application.
All right, that sounds amazing. Okay, you have to top that, Michelle.
Well, I'm at Noe Valley Branch. We have lots of creative programs mm-hmm. for adults and children. We have some of the youth volunteers helping with Summer Stride, which we're finishing up right now. August will be the end of the Summer Stride program, where you read for 20 hours mm-hmm. and then you get a bag, or you get this bandana, mm-hmm. which I have, mm-hmm. when you read another 20 hours. So
okay.
They've been helping us. The youth have been helping us with entering in the data in a computer system that we have, mm-hmm. to log people's reading and give them their prizes. And they also help with the tickets. We have raffles.
Oh.
For prizes. So we have two more raffles, mm-hmm. one at the end of this month. So people should be getting notifications this week. And there's one more at the end of August.
Okay. Now, where is the NOE branch located?
So NOE, it's 451 Jersey, which is between Castro and Diamond. So near 24th Street.
Oh, okay. Way down that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. And your library, where is that located?
We're on 850 Columbus Avenue. It is near Joe DiMaggio Playground, okay. and near Fisherman's Wharf.
Okay.
And very close to Chinatown if you want to walk 10 minutes.
Now, I know I've been in your branch. I think I've been in your branch. So you've got the Summer Stride program, which, you know, which when it ends, it means summer's over. Wah. But who all is eligible to participate in Summer Stride?
So everyone, all ages, they're mm-hmm. all patrons, adults, anyone can come in mm-hmm. and sign up. You okay. can sign up in any location.
Okay, okay. And then in Summer Stride, is it just physical books or do audiobooks? Or
it's any kind of reading or learning. So if you come to a library program, we have several programs that are especially about engaging with nature mm-hmm. and movement and okay. art. They're different topics. There are some locations have trips where they can go out mm-hmm. and you can go to a program. You can do things on your own. You can do audiobooks. You can read an ebook. You can listen to a podcast. Anything where you're learning.
Podcasts count too?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Then I get all the prizes. But just, so how do you sign up?
So you just come into the library and sign up, or you can go
just to any desk?
You can go to to the library's circulation desk uh-huh. at front, and there's staff there.
Nice.
Or some locations may have youth workers or volunteers helping folks sign up. Or you can go to the library's website, sfpl.org.
Okay.
And there's a Summer Stride page for there.
Very cool. All right. So I'm going to bounce back to Jillian. What other programs are happening at your branch that you'd like to tell our listening audience about?
Well, very highlighted one.
Uh-huh.
We have our branch manager does a walking tour every month.
Okay.
He does a part one now, and it was so popular that he's done a part two.
Well, it's a pretty part of town.
Yes. Uh-huh. So, yeah, you learn the history of the area, and sometimes you get a treat when Ooh. when you go on the tour. So mm-hmm. it's limited to usually about 25 patrons. We just had, on the 25th, we had his part one. So I think July 31st is full, but they are going to have another one on mm-hmm. August 8th
okay.
for part one, and on August 28th is part two, and it's from 10:30 to 12:30.
Now, is that something you have to pre-register for, or can you just show up?
It's a limited to 25, so about 2 weeks before the program starts, mm-hmm. you can register. It'll okay. open up, and then once the link doesn't work, it's all filled up.
Sometimes
you can show up if somebody doesn't show up, and you can go.
Understood.
Yeah, so that was a highlight because that's a good one. And, of course, we always have story times on mm-hmm. Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Oh, okay. And so what's the age range for story time?
So every Tuesday they have two story times. First is baby story time from 10:15 to 10:45.
Uh-huh.
And then we have preschool story time from 11 to 11:30.
Okay.
And then on Thursday, we have a toddler story time from 10:15 to 10:45.
So it's babies, toddlers, preschool. That's sort of like the age? Like, so, okay.
Those are the ones that we offer. Some branches do family or do special ones, too.
Okay. Do you ever watch when they're doing, like, the baby story time or any?
I have sat in and watched, yeah.
Because it seems like it would be adorable.
Yes. Lots of singing. reading.
Very cool.
Learning. And then I guess another highlight of what we do is we always have, twice a month, we have a Lego and STEM program. So it's always Lego and something every second and fourth Thursday from 4 to 4:45.
So Lego and STEM, elaborate on that. That sounds
so this
amazing.
One we're having on Thursday, August 6th, they have Legos and Grabber Hands, and that's from 4 to 4:45. And then on the 20th, they have Legos and musical instruments, so they make a musical instrument to play.
But with
they
Legos?
always have Legos available, so they always have the, so it's kind of like a STEM in itself with the Legos, and then they add another STEM part.
Okay, so
it's,
like
it.
You're
so
not
it's always STEM all summer.
But you're not building a musical instrument out of Legos.
I'm not sure about that one.
Okay,
but
wow.
Maybe, that would be cool, too.
That would be super cool.
They probably have that option.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let you, Michelle, jump back in and tell me what else is going on at your branch or a program that you just like and want to make sure people know about.
Well, Noe Valley also has tours. We have some partnerships with the Victorian Alliance and with City Guides.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really popular. You can learn about the history of Noe Valley and go to different sites. We also have a math summer camp where we have youth come in and tutor every week for math. They're high school from Urban High School that are coming in.
Okay.
And coming up this Saturday, we have an interesting program on mushrooms. So they have Carrie Stoller from Fork in the Path will be coming and talking about edible and poisonous mushrooms, how to tell the difference between those. So that's something interesting that we're looking forward to. And coming up in September, we'll have our open house at the end of September.
Oh, that's right, because all the branches, their open houses are at different times.
Yeah, they're at different times, and we'll have opportunities for neighbors to meet each other and do some activities in the library. We always have a craft activity. Mm-hmm. There's a play activity, and what's going to be really fabulous this year is we have the Bay Beats. So one of our musician families is coming, and they're gonna play. Susan Pena and Miguel Govea are gonna come in and play some music and share stories.
So tell our listeners what Bay Beats is, because they might not know.
So Bay Beats is a program where we feature local artists, and you can stream for free when you get a library card. So you can listen to music, and then the different library locations may be featuring programming offering those artists. So it's a way to feature local musicians and give them some shine.
Okay. Well, we just have like a minute left. So is there anything one of you wants to get in under the wire?
I can't think of anything. Come to the library. There's more to find out. We're speechless because there's actually so many things happening, so it's hard to pick out, but there are definitely activities coming at each location that will appeal to all ages.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank both of you, Michelle, Jillian, for being on the show today. I love the library. The library used to be my babysitter when I was a kid, and I just love books, and I love it. All the events that you guys put on. So I'm just so grateful that the library is willing to send people here once a month to talk about the things that are coming up. So thank you both so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Okay, people of Earth, the library is your friend. I remember reading this thing that said, you know, the internet will give you a million answers, but a librarian will give you the right answer. So go support your local libraries. There are places in the nation where they're trying to get rid of libraries. We in San Francisco, we love our libraries, and we want them to survive. And speaking of surviving, I'm going to go out and survive in these here streets. I'm going to turn the mic over to Mr. Ford. It'll be pleasuring your ear hole. So until next week, my friends, ta-ta, and to the do.